As I shared with you earlier, Brother Andy Wisner is here to share God's Word with us this morning, founding the church back in around 1996. And as I've often thought and just realized more and more, the reason we are able to freely proclaim God's Word, it doesn't matter what the subject is in God's Word, no matter how difficult it may be to deal with, the reason we are able to do that and to seek to embrace it in this community here at New Life is in large part because of Brother Andy's faithfulness to preach God's Word and to teach the sound doctrine. So, Brother Andy, thank you for doing that. And no crying today now, okay? All right. So, come on up. He and Vicki have been serving over at First Bible in Decatur. And if you want to share just a little bit about that, please do so. But we look forward to hearing from you. Lord bless you. Let me get this stuff out of your way.
So you're the second person that said don't cry today. I don't know what you're talking about. And I promise you I'll do the best I can-ish. But I tell you what, this is great, but it's kind of strange. It's the first time I've ever preached here as a guest speaker. And I'm not going to not cry. Dad, I think that's asking too much. That's it. All right. So, all right. Oh, there's one more time. I've only got 30 minutes. I've got to get to this. Thanks. All right. So.
Just in case you
were. Okay. Gracias. All right. Vic and I, as you know, now serve the Lord at First Bible Church in Decatur. And Vicki is the pastor of... No, she's not. She's the... I forgot what they call you now. Anyway, she's the director of women's ministries and the director of biblical counseling for women. I'm the pastor of biblical counseling for the church. And it's been kind of exciting and kind of overwhelming at the same time. We've been, since the day we got there, we have been, what's a bigger word than busy? I don't know. But we have been overwhelmed. Okay, good job. Yeah, good job. Thank you, Ed. Especially Vicki, I don't know how many women she has counseled over the last year. We have, I think collectively, we've counseled 75 cases, not all from First Bible, but a lot from First Bible. And we've addressed everything from adultery to same-sex attraction to finances, wayward kids, suicide, and what do I do about my neighbor's dog that can't stay out of my yard, okay? But I was telling somebody the other day as I was meeting with them, and I drove to Decatur to meet with them at 7 in the morning, and I said, we talked for a while, and I said, you know, I don't even know why I have a job. And he looked at me kind of funny. I said, because I'm only doing what we're all supposed to be doing. Anyway, it's been good. What did I do that? Yeah. But it's been good to be over there. I got to say, though, I miss you. I miss preaching. I'll get over this. Okay. But I miss preaching. I miss preaching here. I like what you've done with the auditorium and all the renovations. Very good job. Now, I do assume that's under Brother Eric's leadership. That's great. That's great. I do miss the pulpit. I don't know why in the world. So, anyway. Anyway, Vicki and I are trying to finish our schooling. Vicki is about 3/4 of the way for master's from a faith seminary in Lafayette, Indiana. And I have just started last Thursday my last class in a doctoral program at Birmingham Seminary. That doesn't mean I'm done. That just means I'm through with classes. But we're looking forward to serving the Lord. I'm really looking forward to connecting and reconnecting with many of you after Sunday school, after the small group time. I've seen some of you since I left. Some of you I haven't. But I'm excited. I really am excited to be here. So I need to get to preaching so I can gain my composure. And by the way, thank you for letting me be here today. It's a great privilege. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's one of the best chapters in the New Testament. It covers so much. And today, I'm basically going to bring a topical exposition. Okay, we believe in expository preaching, so I'm going to exposit a topic. Is that good? All right. And the topic is our ambassadorship. And church, this message is for you. This message is for me. It's for us as God's children, as God's family, as God's servants. There are a lot of things that encompass our life as Christians. We're called, in John's gospel, we're called Jesus' friends if we do what he's commanded us. We're called his servants. Paul called himself a bondservant. We're called members of his family, brothers and sisters. In fact, even as spiritual leaders, we're called spiritual fathers as we disciple those coming under us. John calls us little children. So we've got a lot of names in the New Testament, don't we? So one of the titles that we have is ambassador. Now that's a biggie. That is a biggie. So if you'll look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 18, Paul writes, Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So what is an ambassador? What is an ambassador? We all have a general idea of what an ambassador is. We hear about the ambassador to some country from the United States, or the ambassador from the United States to some country. We understand that it's representative. Textbook definition is the highest ranking diplomatic representative of one sovereign state to another. We are ambassadors. So if the textbook definition is true, then according to that label, we are the highest diplomatic authority in this world representing the kingdom of God. So let that soak in for a moment. You know, we tend to think that, and I hear people say all the time, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what God's plan for me is. I don't know, I don't know how valuable I am. I don't have any gifts. I don't have any talents. If nothing else, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You are a diplomat of the kingdom of God. Now, when we say an ambassador, it's not in this text, but implicit in the term ambassador is two things. Well, more than two, but only two for this message's sake, okay? And that is a kingdom and an embassy. Unless there is a kingdom to represent, there is no ambassadorship, okay? Unless we are truly representing another kingdom, we are not truly ambassadors. And whoever heard of an ambassador, at least these days, whoever heard these days of an ambassador without an embassy? Embassy is a vital part of being an ambassador, and we'll look at that. We'll look at that in just a moment. So, who is an ambassador? If you're here this morning and God has saved you, if He has forgiven your sins and brought you into His family, you are by default, you may have not asked for it, you may not want the job, but you are an ambassador of Christ. Okay? You are. You say, well, I don't feel like much of one. Well, you may not be much of one. Okay? But that doesn't change the fact that you are one. You know, we're called to be good husbands, and we're not always that, are we? But we're called to be that. So the question on the table is, are you a good ambassador? Do you represent Christ well in this world? Or do you not? Okay? We'll look at some of that, and I really do have to hurry along. So what about this kingdom? What about this kingdom that we represent? Now, I got to tell you, the topic that I'm talking about today is immense, and I'm going to give you not even a superficial outline. But when you look in the New Testament about the kingdom, you read so many things. Sometimes we think of the kingdom as a tangible place, rulership. We talk about the millennial kingdom. Okay, if you don't believe in a millennium, you don't have to. You can just sleep through it, okay? But we talk about a millennial kingdom. Jesus talked about the kingdom being among us. He said, if I cast out demons by the prince of demons, then the kingdom of God is here, has come upon you. We also talk about the kingdom as something future. Jesus even taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? When we talk about the kingdom, no wonder there is so much confusion in the church about the kingdom, because there's so much overlap, and it is such a massive, massive topic. Let me tell you how massive it is. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, I believe it is, we're told that Jesus spent the last 40 days that he was on earth explaining to his disciples, expounding on the kingdom of God. That's a big deal. The kingdom we represent is a big deal to God. Those were the last teachings that Jesus gave his disciples. He didn't teach them, you know, he didn't give them courses on how to be a better fill in the blank, okay? Or how to exegete Isaiah 53. That was not it. He gave them instruction on the kingdom. And I'll tell you how big it is. When you read there in Acts chapter 1, when you find verse 6, you find that they still didn't get it. 40 days teaching on the kingdom. And the last question they asked him before the angels and the cloud received him out of their sight was, so are you going to restore the kingdom now? You know, it's so wonderful. You are so blessed that I'm not God. Because in that situation, I would have just gone, 40 more days, okay. But he didn't do that. He loved his disciples. He was kind to his disciples. He gave them a great response. But he gave them a response that tells us there is a coming kingdom. He said, it's not for you to know when. It's not for you to know when, which means there is a coming kingdom. We just don't know when. We just don't know when that realm. Now, when you say kingdom, I did a word study. I know that just surprises the life out of you. But I did a word study, believe it or not, on the suffix dom. So what is a kingdom? It is the realm of the king. That's what it means. It is the realm of the king. So when we talk about a kingdom, we're not talking about necessarily, like I said, it's like the tentacles of the kingdom of God are just everywhere. But we're talking about the king himself. We're talking about the rulership of Jesus Christ. Because you see, he doesn't just rule over nations. We talk about kingdoms. We talk about maybe the kingdom of the United States or the United Kingdom or the kingdom of a kingdom in this country that has states and boundaries. Well, He's the King of all of that. He's the sovereign over every bit of that. So to say that He's a sovereign over somewhere, that's misleading because He's sovereign over everywhere. And to say that He's sovereign over a people is misleading because He's sovereign over all people. So when we talk about the kingdom of God, we are talking about the expanse of His rulership, but we're also talking about He Himself. He is the King. And you see here, right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that we are ambassadors. It doesn't say of the New Jerusalem or of that country or of heaven. We are ambassadors, what? Of Christ, of the King. By the way, technically speaking, an ambassador of the United States is... An ambassador of the United States is directly answers to the president. Okay? And he represents the president. He doesn't necessarily represent all of the United States. How could he do that? Because you have different cultures within the United States that disagree. So, but he represents the president, the sovereign over the nation. We represent in this world as an ambassador, as a diplomat from God to this world. We represent Jesus Christ. So how do we do that? We show the world and we show one another what Jesus is like, how Jesus loved, how much grace He had, how angry He could get, how much He was involved in the lives of publicans and sinners. We need to emulate that. How much He loved His disciples, how much He loved the one another. We'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment, but I do want to change the topic for just a moment. I do want to change it in just a moment, okay? Because I do want to say one thing. As ambassadors of Christ, we represent Him 24/7. We don't get time off. We don't get vacation. We represent Him every day, all day long. We represent Jesus Christ when we're at the ballpark. How do we do there? Do we look like Jesus? Do we represent His kingdom well at the ballpark? We represent Jesus Christ in our homes. We represent Jesus Christ at Walmart. No matter what we're doing, Paul said to the Philippians, I am an ambassador in chains. So if we're in prison, we are an ambassador of Christ. If we're at a party, we are an ambassador of Christ. And church, I could just stop here and you know that I could. But let it soak in that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, Colossians says this. Paul wrote to the church at Colossae and he said this. Do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. And if Jesus, let me put that in simple terms, a little explanation. If Jesus could not sign off on what you're doing, don't. If Jesus wouldn't give His check by it and sign His name to it, you shouldn't either. You say, well, does that mean? Yes, it does. But what about? Oh, yeah, especially that. Like I said, this is a massive topic. It really is. But I do want to go on to the second implication. Get this. It's a big deal to be an ambassador, isn't it? Because we are ambassadors not of the President of the United States, but of the God of the universe. It's a big deal. And we will give an answer and give an account for what kind of ambassador we are. You are an ambassador if you're a Christian. What kind of ambassador are you? But the second implication is an embassy. You know, you guys know what an embassy is. It's an institution that represents one nation inside another nation. It declares its home nation's interest to the host nation, and it protects the citizens of the home nation living in the host nation. Now, that may be a little confusing, but let me tell you what that looks like in Southern. It's a home away from home. All right? It's a home away from home. In our ambassadorship, we know what our kingdom is, right? What is our kingdom? Our kingdom is God. We represent Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors of Christ. Where's our embassy? You're sitting in it. You're sitting in the embassy. It is the church. Not the church building, but where the saints gather. Okay? If you guys all want to load up and climb into Brother Eric's living room, that becomes the church. Because it's the gathering of the saints. All right? But in this embassy, we're still supposed to represent the kingdom. Now, in an embassy, it's a place where the ambassadors come on a regular basis to receive instruction from the sovereign that they represent. Okay? That's done here in this embassy by the teaching of God's Word. We get our marching orders through the teaching of the pastor. We get our instructions through our Sunday scope. We get our direction by our own personal Bible reading, Bible study, and prayer. But the embassy is a great place because it's home away from home. You know, the church is for Christian people. Did you know that? Now, I have to say this. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we are so glad you're here. I can't even describe how glad we are that you're here, okay? And we want you to become a part of the family of God. We love that. We would love for you to come to understand that you've offended a holy God and that Jesus, the one that we're talking about, God Himself has come and He has taken on the form of man and He has lived a life that's sinless. And in His sinless life, He became a substitute for our pathetically sinful life. And we changed places with Him. We'll talk about that in a moment in verse 21 here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And then we became ambassadors. You know, Paul said it this way. He said, we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son. Now we don't represent the kingdom of darkness anymore, though we did a heck of a job of it, didn't we? We did a great job of representing the kingdom of darkness. Let's go to the effort of representing the kingdom of His Son. He didn't say from kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, though the implication is there, but He said we are ambassadors of Christ. We're ambassadors of Christ. Okay. The church. So, the church ought to be an embassy. An embassy is a place where ambassadors come for a taste of home, where it's usually decorated with articles that's unique to the country they represent. The national flag should be there. The national language is spoken. Sometimes a national cuisine is prepared and served there, so the smell and taste reminds them of home. And I'm just thinking fried chicken. Right? Yeah, fried chicken, biscuits, or cornbread, as long as you don't put sugar in it. But can you imagine being in an embassy in some country where everything smells like old grease, and you come in and there's beans and taters? Yeah, See, that's a taste of home. That's a taste of home. And if you don't like beans and taters, you've got to be from the north. I don't know. That's not an insult. I'm just joking. Okay? The embassy is also a place that resembles the representing country in a very positive way, so that those who might visit into this embassy would consider it as their homeland. Also, the embassy is a place where the ambassadors can come for protection and safety. Did you know that the world really doesn't appreciate, approve of, or even like Christian people and Christian things? Now you might say, well, Brother Andy, I get along with the world just fine. Well, what does that say about your testimony? What does that say about your stand for Jesus Christ? Because Paul said, if anyone will live godly in Christ Jesus, he will what? Right. So if you're at least not disagreeing with somebody, what are you doing? We're not here to represent or to fit into this country, this world that we're placed in that doesn't care, doesn't like us, doesn't really want us here. Would just as soon us go away. But if we're getting along with a world like that, there's something wrong in our life. There's just something wrong there. Now, you know, I feel like I have to caveat everything, and I hate it, but don't go pick a fight, okay? Don't go just be a jerk. You don't have to do that, because the cross of Jesus Christ is offensive enough. I promise you this. You want to endure some real persecution? You go to the ball field, and you just start sharing the gospel with people. Sooner or later, somebody's not going to like you. Just simply sharing the gospel. Help somebody out. Buy them a tank of gas. And then say, the reason I did that in Jesus' name because I'm a representative of Him. Can I tell you about Him? Sooner or later, somebody's going to say, no, I don't want to know. So, let's think about that. But let's just think about the embassy for a minute. What should the embassy be like? Brother, by the way, it's 25 after. I'm aware of that. Brother Eric said if I went over 30 minutes, it's not a big deal. Okay? Was it 30? No? Okay. You know, I'm old. I can't remember very well. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that will set the embassy apart from the world. Look with me in John 13. John 13, starting in verse 34. Let me go through this real quick. I'm not hearing many pages turn, so I'm just going to read. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, can I say my ambassadors, if you have love for one another. The Christian church, the embassy of Christian ambassadors, is to be different in love. Love is the primary distinction. And Jesus didn't say like Moses said, and here's the new part of that. Have you ever wondered what the new part of that is? Moses said to love your neighbor as yourself. Excuse me, Jesus quoted the Old Testament law as the second greatest commandment is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Where is that? It's in the Old Testament. This is not new. What is new is this. Jesus said, love as I love. That's more than you love you. Have you thought about that? That is more than you love you. The context here in John 13, if you scroll back to the beginning, is this. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. That's the context here. You love as I have loved you. Wash one another's feet. Be kind to one another. Love one another. Be compassionate to one another. Show grace to one another. Be forgiving to one another. Can I challenge you to a great study? Go through the New Testament and see how many times we're commanded to be like Jesus or to be like God. It'll blow you away. It will just blow you away. We're in everything, we're supposed to be like Him. Just one small example. Ephesians 4:32. It says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. One more verse, chapter 5, verse 1. What does it say? And be imitators of God as dear children. How many? We're supposed to be like God. We're His ambassadors. We're supposed to represent Him here in this world. And in the embassy, we are to love with the same compassion that Jesus had. We're to love with the same humility that Jesus had. We are to be willing, if necessary, to wash one another's feet like Jesus did. We think that's kind of gross. And maybe it is kind of gross. But what did Jesus do? The nasty feet of those Palestinian servants of His, He washed them. And you know they were nasty. They didn't have floorshams in that day. It was sandals or nothing. But we're also supposed to love. Can I say this? We're supposed to love without prejudice. You know, Jesus, in Acts 10, Jesus talking to Cornelius, explaining this, He says, God has shown me not to call any man common or unclean. Does that soak in? Not to call any man. I look through the congregation. I'm so excited to see a rainbow, different kind of people. Some people got better tans than others. Some people are taller. You know, some people have oriental heritage. Some people have a city culture background. And some of us have been fortunate enough to live in the country where God lives. God has taken so many. Just look around. Would you do that? Just look around. See how many different people. And you're not, are you? You're not going to do that. That's okay. But trust me, you're different. Okay? And I'm different. You can probably amen that. But here's the thing. The embassy ought to be a place where we come and we feel like the family of God. We feel like God is our Father. And we ask Him, Father, what would You want us to do here? How would You want us to handle this disagreement? How would You want us to handle? How would You want us to handle this passage? How would You want us to handle this situation? How can we rejoice with those who rejoice? How can we weep with those who weep? How can we forgive like You forgave? Oh, yeah, that's another sermon. We'll get to that maybe in a few years. But we prefer one another. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. And honor giving preference to one another. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to skip a lot. And then we'll get to the end. And I want to give you this because this occurred to me. It's possible you don't even agree with this. And I don't know why you might, but you might. But I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and find verse 9. And we'll start reading there. And it's not a stretch. It's not a stretch to me to see this as a commission statement for ambassadors. It's how we are to live in this world. Here's what Peter says. But you, all of you ambassadors, it's going to be a running commentary, so just hold your hat on. All of you who are ambassadors, you are a chosen generation. You have been handpicked by me. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim, that is, you may be a good ambassador, you may represent the kingdom, you may proclaim the praises of Him, because we are ambassadors of Christ, who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, that is, as ambassadors in this world, Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, because all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, that they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Glorify God, since we have been good ambassadors. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, because he is the one that you represent, whether to the king as supreme or to governors or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. I have one more passage that I want to read to you, because I want to encourage you to keep on being an ambassador. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, starting in verse 1, and I've shortened this down. He says, therefore, it's not verse 1 that I started with, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let me close with this. We are ambassadors of the King. We are His highest diplomatic representatives. We serve Him in this world wherever we are. But at least once a week, or twice a week, or three times a week, we ought to make it a habit to come home to the embassy so we can be encouraged, so we can be exhorted, so we can be reminded of the King that we serve. And as we serve on a daily basis, we need to look to heaven. We need to look to Christ for strength. We need to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross.